probably start by telling you folks that, you know, I've always been just a lonely guy. Back around the time when I was in college, it was a really bad time for me. My father, he was a Presbyterian minister, and he actually ran off with my mother's best friend. So, I don't think I'm letting this get laughed. My mom, obviously, understandably, did not take it too well. She was going through cancer at the time, and she really lost herself in religion. You know, I'd like to say that she was married to Jesus. Anyway, with the whole speaking in tongues and the snake handling and all of that business, and that kind of freaked me out. So, you know, I was working as an accountant at the time at Arthur Anderson. I just graduated. So, you know, I'm having trouble dealing with all of the emotional trauma of this. So, you know, I said, you know, how with it? I literally packed up my bags in the middle of the night and just moved down to South Florida, you know. I decided I was going to be a professional bodybuilder, you know. that was for the ladies. Actually, that was steps for me because I have so little. So anyways, you know, I'm down there, I'm going to the gym twice a day. I'm literally eating 80 egg whites a day. I bought a Geo Metro, I'm driving around eating baked potatoes that I microwaved in my whole car. Literally, somewhere got infested with palmetto bugs, and it's a real nightmare. And for a living, I'm delivering pizzas. And I grew my hair, and I had a ponytail sticking out of the hat. And, you know, things are going very well for me. So understandably, now you know why I was a lonely guy. But at some point, I was actually able to save up all of my tips, and I was able to buy a house, and to help pay for this house, I put an ad in the paper, and I was looking for a roommate. And as luck would have it, a flight attendant. Responded to the ad. She was beautiful. I mean, the stereotypic flight attendant with blonde hair, the blue eyes. And the first time I met her, I swear to God, I could not look at her eyes because she had in her hands the most gorgeous poodle I've ever seen. His name was Scruffy, and he was aged, he was gray, he had had all these different spots on him, and he was very and these cataracts. So. I looked at him, and I think he was looking at me. I fell in love. You know? So the flight attendant, she's off, from ValueJet, flying around wherever before they had that unfortunate situation. And she's being struggling, just me and my boy. And I started to think of that. I'll never forget that first night. It was just the two of us alone. He literally put his little wet nose under my collar. Honestly, I had never felt such amazing love. And it was truly. I mean, he had me at hello. PetSmart, you know. And it was unfortunate because he had this cataract. He was on the leash, boom, right to a fire. It did not stop his enthusiasm or mine. You know, I took him to the PetSmart. He was gray. I got him a purple color coordinated bowl. I spent the $5. I got the top of the line bone name tag that said Scruffy with my phone number on it. I mean, he was not my own flesh, but I loved him as if he was my own son. But at some point, this whole bodybuilding thing, you know, because it looks less like a career in professional bodybuilding and more like a career in pizza delivery. So it's a bad situation. Well, I'm like, you know what? Maybe this whole Florida adventure isn't working out quite the way I planned. So, you know, my flight attendant, she was an absentee mother. She was going. So we worked out a deal. She's like, John, you go ahead and take a little scruffer. You know, it could be yours. So, you know, I packed up the U-Haul. I headed north. It had a shivering poodle sitting on my lap the entire 1,200 miles. But it was an amazing experience. So I get home and, I'm a failed accountant, I'm a failed delivery pizza person, I'm a failed bodybuilder, bouncer. I was pretty good at that, though. I had a fun with that. So, anyway, you know, it, we get there, and I'm forced to live with my sister at this point, and it's kind of a bad situation. She's taking me in. It's coming to be around the holidays, and I'm depressed as all hell. Everybody's got their successful careers, and you know, here I am with a half blind poodle. So come Christmas, and I'm down. It's Christmas Eve, and I'm just really feeling blue. You know, my mom's coming, my sister and my mom, or they're going out to some sort of snake handling Christmas service. I'm like, fuck that. I need to stay home and masturbate. My mom drops off her presents and they go on their merry way. And I love, you know, two presents open the first one. It's the Jesus video. Thanks, Mom. Thanks. The second present is open it, and it's a Hickory Farms cheese ball. I mean, what do you mean? Christ is all hell, Christmas Eve. It's just me and my half my little scruffer. So I open cheese balls, and scruffer's me and you, buddy. I eat some cheese. He's looking at me with the head cut. I give him some cheese. Together, we polish off the entire cheese ball. Next day, my sister's still out with my mom, praising the Lord, or whatever they're doing. I wake up, and I take her scruffer out. We got a routine. Usually, I'll take him out the back door, and he'll go back to the fence, and he'll cock his leg, do his thing. He'll hang a right, and head over to the trees, and that's where he'll assume the kind of the tripod position. He proceeds to do that, and he's just moving forward, just kind of doing his thing, and like, nothing is happening. Of course, I fucking cheese. So I know it works for me. Whenever I have a problem like that, if I eat something, I find it kind of motivates everything. So I figure I'll take a little scruffer inside, give a little wet food, problem solved. So I take him in, and I set him down to the linoleum. Same thing, he's just moving forward. Holy shit. You know, this is Christmas Day. I pick up my boy. And I without exaggerating, ordinarily, his sphincter would probably be a little bit. His sphincter. And you know, there are times in your life when your back's against the wall. You know, it's fight or flight. Snow on the ground. My Geo Metro's got no gas. There's no veterinarian, and I didn't have any money to be able to go to the veterinarian anyway, so I'm like, all right, it's me and my boy, you know, I'm going to need a Christmas miracle for you. So what I did is I went over to my sister's silverware drawer. You know, my dad had always told me, you know, you need the right tool for the right job. I'm looking at my different options here. I select the butter knife. And I had a little scruffer under my arm. And I'm like, scruffer, this is going to hurt you more than it hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. And I started digging at that. And I'm telling you, the stink was just, it was overwhelming. This is my boy. And I am going to get him on the right track. So that didn't work out. You know, what I figured what I needed really was a corkscrew. You know? But my goddamn sister was on the wagon at the time. So, short of an ice cream scooper, I figured the next best utensil would be a spoon. Because the curvature in the skin, it would just, whoo, no, same thing. So, what am I going to do? So at this point, I went over to the sink, and I turned the water on, and I got it nice and warm. And I went into the drawer, and I got some Saran wrap, and I wrapped my hand up. And I took my boy, and I put him right under the sink, and I stuck my finger in his mouth. Cleaned him out. tell you this. When I put Scruffy down on the floor, and he was running around, pausing only momentarily to wipe his ass on the carpet, I knew that I had taken part in a true Christmas miracle.